Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
WTIC, don't forget, we mix phone calls in with the rants, but it is rant line time. Rohan was online from Hartford. Go ahead, finish up, Rohan.
Okay, so as I was saying, I let me just ask you this question, Todd. Do you believe that people are more easy to identify a problem than come up with a solution to that particular problem? Yes or no?
I would say it's easier to complain than it is to solve, yes.
Complain. Okay, that's a nice way to put it. But I think that majority of human, that's human nature by far, is that we're easy to identify a problem for those who have the ability to do so. And then the problem that I see, and many of your callers that listen to your show, I'm not trying to pick on your show particularly, but a lot of people just have different opinions, and that's okay. That's democracy, right? But the problem is that there's not solutions to the problem. And it's one thing to just give talk, but not able to...
Okay, so what's your solution? What's your solution?
As what I was proposing is that whether it's this radio station based on your audience...
Rohan, forget the asides. Just say what your solution is.
The solution is to have a place where everyone can come and give their solution to a particular problem that's facing residents. That's what I'm saying. Now, there are multiple problems. I would have to be able to identify all the problems and then go ahead and come to a wise resolution to those problems, which that would be just my opinion or my viewpoint or my solution to those problems. I'm not the problem solver here. I'm saying if everyone come together, give their...
No, you are, because you proposed a solution, and it's a good one. But I really think that's what any community is about, whether it's whether we do it on a website or whether we do it on the rant line where you can record your solutions. Everybody's invited to do that. Or if people call up on the air, they can do it there as well. But yeah, like you say, people are, it's more fun to complain and point out the problems than it is to offer the solutions. Thank you for the call, sir. I've got to move on to the rant line. 860-522-9842. That's our phone number if you want to talk. And the rant line number, 860-751-4698.
Listening to the governor's press conference, and I'm extremely upset. I'm not sure if everyone realizes that they've been telling you this for months. The only way you're going to get your freedom back is if you roll up your sleeve and take this experimental mRNA inoculation. That's the only way you're getting your freedom back. Bill Gates said 7 billion people have to get it. The government has made 300 million doses via warp speed. And Fauci's out there saying 90% of this inoculation rate is herd immunity. 90% of the 7.8 billion people on the planet is 7 billion. They're all saying the same thing. You have to get their experimental mRNA inoculation or you're not getting your freedom back. This never ends. The only metric that they're telling you that this ends with is if there's 100% compliance with the inoculation rate. And they just rolled out in this press conference by hook or by crook, or by coercion and force, and they're going to get you this shot. And the legislature and their major issues pamphlet that came out last week, they said they're changing the religious vaccination exemption law. They're going to remove it. So there's no religious exemption to this. Your kids are going to have to get it. And they put vaccination, they're proposing to put vaccination for the COVID inoculation on the mandatory inoculation list to go to school. So as soon as they get that thing formulated for your children, your kids are going to have to get this to go to public schools. We are connecting with the other vaccination freedom and choice groups in the state. Our newsletters are stating what we can do for liberty here in the state. We're not backing down and we're not surrendering to this. CTLiberty.org. God bless you.
All right, that's Jonathan from CT Liberty. Using the rant line to solve problems. Now, he's complaining about a problem, Rohan, but he's offering a solution or asking for a solution, and that is political activism to stop those in power from doing things people don't want with their power. And that's a hard thing to do because you know why.
Yo, Todd, this is the Candy Rapper, 2021. And let me make it clear, Candy is still here. I heard you play Cameo. Don't you know? He's my bro. I'm going to explore a run in 2020-24. I will even the score. I'm starting a third party. It's going to be a cool party. I will call it the pool party. It's going to be fun. And there will be more to come. I say the hell with the doggies and the elephants. All they want are illegal immigrants. This is a country of law and order, and we need to maintain our strong borders. Folks, how about a holla for Paula? Candy out. Have a good day, Todd. Bye-bye.
Oh, the Candy Rapper is the best. Thank you, Candy, for making an appearance.
Hi, Todd. It's Lori calling from Waterbury. I'm sorry that I wasn't able to call you earlier. About an hour and a half ago, a gentleman called and said that the Democrats are more or less accused of being winners from now to eternity, and you asked why that could be, how it could be guaranteed. It's very simple, at least to me it is. When Biden gets in office, there will be this great program to get rid of the COVID inoculations, a huge program. And once that is underway and that the American public feels he is doing such a wonderful job, you'll see another onslaught of immigrants coming across this country once again. And here we are back to square one with that Democrat, never-ending Democrat immigrant base.
Well, you're right that the Democrats have for a long time been in this hyper immigration mode as a way to fill cities up with people who will expand their voting blocks in those cities. And my problem with that kind of thinking is that you're suggesting that nothing will ever change. And that's why I was challenging the caller you heard. The idea that Democrats will win all elections moving forward when Republicans have been dominating the country over recent years, dominating state houses, dominating governor seats, dominating the federal government, and one election gets lost on the part of Donald Trump, who blew the election, could have won it easily, I think, had he handled things better, if he hadn't messed up that first debate so ridiculously. If he hadn't done what he did over the last couple of weeks of the campaign, Georgia wouldn't have been lost if he hadn't shown utter disregard for the best interests of Republicans running in Georgia. I mean, there's all kinds of bad stuff happening, and that's momentary, and it's all connected to Donald Trump with his self-destructiveness. So to suddenly go to a point where all is lost, I don't get that, especially when what you're suggesting is that nothing else will change, that all Democrats have to do is keep packing the country with illegal aliens and that they will be able to convert all them into voters and everybody will keep voting the same way that they vote currently. And that's not how real life works in my experience.
Hi, if you're interested in gold and silver and other precious metals.
Here you go, Mike. Some buying advice for you. You ready?
Just go to Kitco, KITCO.com. That's what the dealers use. It's what pawn shops and all the brokers around. They just go there. That gives you the spot price, you know, vibe all day long. And if you want, you can purchase at spot plus 2%, just like any dealer will sell you. But that's where you want to go. Don't worry with the mint. They have super overcharges. And good luck.
That's what I figured with the mint. Somebody else suggested the mint, but they've got to have those were to be retail prices at the mint, I would think. I like the pawn shop idea, too, though. But this sounds good, Mike. So Mike has decided Elon Musk became the richest man in the world this week, and Mike figured he better get started with his own investing. So he's starting out with silver, and that's why we were getting advice on how to handle buying precious metals.
Hey, Todd, suddenly Trump's a bad guy. Some people at his protest do something wrong, and now you got nothing good to say about him?
Well, the funny thing is, I've been for months, anything I say about Trump that isn't glowing, I get attacked for, which even includes when I'm not saying anything bad about him. When I said, just so you guys would be ready, I told you months ago that Trump was going to lose the election. And the response was just like that. Oh, why do you hate Trump? All of a sudden you hate Trump. Well, I didn't say anything about Trump. I told you he's going to lose the election. That's all. Well, why do you think that? And then I tell you and you attack my reasons.
Hey, Todd, suddenly Trump's a bad guy. Some people at his protest do something wrong. And now you got nothing good to say about him. I've heard you a million times supporting him.
Yes, but what would I say good about Trump right now? He has made an utter mess of his own presidency. He's going out as a pariah. For what reason? Simply because he wanted to be a petulant child and misbehave at the end of the line. And that creates a problem for those of us who care about moving the process in a good direction for the country instead of a bad direction for the country. And right now, he's converted all of the energy into the negative direction in terms of saving the state and saving the country. So I'm not appreciative of that right now, so it's hard for me to say anything nice about him.
Why don't you be honest and tell everyone that CBS Radio got to you?
So this is the wizards who know how everything works and have the answer to every problem. Just so you know how smart the wizards are, like this guy who knows how everything works. And he doesn't even have to have a conversation and ask any questions about why I may think that way. He just declares. Do you hear what he said at the end here?
And tell everyone that CBS Radio got to you.
CBS Radio sold out of the radio business 2.5 years ago. I don't even work for CBS Radio, but you are so brilliant. You've got everything figured out, don't you?
Hello, Todd. Zap from Tim. Not really a rant, just a question and a wonder. Wondering why my friends just arrived from Colorado to the airport, had to get tested. They've been home, just received a bill, $350 each for testing at Bradley Airport. I thought this was free testing. What is going on with Jolly Ned? Is this another one of his flim-flam scams? Thank you, Todd. Bye.
I don't know that he promised. Did he promise? Anybody remember Ned promising free testing? I don't recall. But I do recall hearing that you had to pay, so I'm not sure about the history on that. 860-522-9842, the rant line number, 860-751-4698. But we take regular calls during the rant line hour, which we're doing right now. Juan is here from East Hartford. Hi, Juan.
Todd, I'm still hurting over the fact that he screwed up. And
who screwed up?
What he did to himself. Trump. I mean, he screwed up. The swamp got to him, and it got the best of him. You know, you're right on focusing on local, because if we're gonna do anything, if we're gonna save ourselves, we gotta go back. And you and I talked about this before. We gotta go back to the local level, because if we don't do anything at the local level, the clowns that we send up to Washington are gonna be the same clown after the same clown after the same clown. That's gonna point out to people lying while they're lying.
Well, I think that's right. Local is what we can change. And local, by the way, Pat Sasser, I was talking to him earlier today before he came on the air, before the show started. And he was saying how we've got to get everybody to focus on local politics because that's the thing that impacts people's lives the most. And the toll situation, you remember the proposal from the governor one. He wanted to take $1,000 out of each driver, every commuter's pocket, per car, per family. It would have cost $850 to $1,000 per car to have the tolls that he wanted to implement. And there's nothing that the federal government does on a normal basis that has that much impact on our day-to-day lives. But the local government and state government does that all the time.
The governor just passed that 17 cent thing that's not going to go to anywhere. They're going to go to the gas tax. They're going to keep grabbing and grabbing and grabbing. As long as
that's right, they are the grabbers.
They are definitely grabbers. They like to put their hands in your pocket.
They do. Thank you, Juan. Good to hear from you. Oh, this call. Listen to this call. This is the wind call. Listen.
Well, if I'm live, I'm going to say what I was trying to tell Will this the other day.
Yeah.
That this is all in Scripture, and what we really should be doing was take our power back, take our control back by being self-reliant. A righteous, self-reliant. I have all that in 9 pages.
All right. Glad we got that from you. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard sometimes to get your thoughts all collected together for an on-air call or for a rant call, whatever. But on the rant line, you can just stop and start over again, and I'll cut it out for you. WTIC, we're in the middle of the rants. Tom Scott, the great Tom Scott, coming up in a few minutes. Calling in from the big house right now, it's 23-year prison veteran Michael Leibowitz. Hello, Lebo.
Hello, Tom. Good evening. So I wanted to comment on two different callers and dynamics that you have going on. Earlier in your show today, Alfonso McGriff said that he didn't believe that racists can change. And then you've been getting some callers who say that it's just Democrats are going to win all the elections from now on. And one lady even, attributed that to the swell of immigrants that would be coming in. And my question to them would be is, do human beings have free will? Because if we do have free will, then a racist can change, voters can change their minds, immigrants can be persuaded, and election outcomes certainly aren't, determined ahead of time. But if we don't have free will, well, then none of these discussions matter anyway, because whatever is going to happen is just going to happen. So I just think it's important.
Well, what's your answer to this? Because
answer is
I think you would. Well, hang on. Before you answer, let me just interject. I would think that you would agree that certain things are deeply embedded in humans, and that while it's possible to change, it's very difficult, and often with certain issues like bigotry and hate that's been taught by parents, that's a really tough one and an extremely rare thing to change.
Sure, things are deeply ingrained. My criminality was deeply ingrained, but I've changed it. And people quit smoking. People changed their attitudes about all
So things. Has your but has your self-innovation caught on in a prison like wildfire?
No, of course not. But that's kind of my point, is that people have if people don't have free will, then those people in here that don't change, why are they being held accountable? It's not their fault. They were forced to do this by internal drives and mechanisms. We hold people accountable because we believe that they have the freedom to choose. And I have the freedom to choose, and so do you. And just like I've changed my mind on some political issues, I'm sure you've changed yours. And if we can change ours, everybody else can change theirs if they choose to as well.
I'm with you.
Otherwise, we're just wasting our time otherwise, Todd,
Yeah. No, it's a very interesting thing because I agree. I believe in free will, and yet I can see that free will is rarely exercised amongst humans.
real quick, Todd, thanks for taking my call. I just want to say happy birthday to a buddy of mine. He knows who he is.
All right. Leibowitz, thank you, sir. We'll talk to you soon. Let's get a rant.
Hello, Todd. I think that anybody who's raised kids would agree that racism is definitely taught and not something you're born with. So the idea that you wouldn't be able to change your racist, I mean, I agree, it would be mostly impossible. It would have to be done by someone that person, you know, like they're, it would only be able to be probably done if the people who made them racist were changed and then they, you know, tried to show them the error of the way they were taught. So it's not impossible, but it's, you know, it would be almost impossible. I don't know why I called. Bye.
No, that was good. That's just what we were talking about. 860-522-9842. We'll talk to Tom Scott. We'll talk a little politics coming up. All right, this is too funny. So we just talked to Michael Leibowitz, prisoner, who co-wrote a book on life in prison with a guy named Brent McCall called Down the Rabbit Hole. And because of that, they got separated. So they now live in separate prisons in the Connecticut state system. And Brent just happened to call in at the same time as Leibowitz. So we'll talk to Brent for a minute before we get to Tom Scott. Sorry, Tom. Hello there, Brent. Happy birthday, by the way.
Oh, thank you, Todd. Appreciate that. Hey, I just wanted to make a comment on current events. For one, I know that prisoners are soon to be on the list for the COVID vaccine. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to say that I think it's absolutely absurd that a felony conviction pushes people to the front of the line, regardless of, you know, how the Constitution may have been interpreted by the courts.
Well, what if the real reason for that is to slow the spread? And because you guys have direct contact with state workers every day, large numbers, I would assume, and because nobody wears masks or follows any normal protocols in prison, that it would really make a lot of sense to just for everybody else's health for you guys to get vaccinated.
Well, I don't know. If every other prison is like this one, I think we've reached herd immunity in the system. I know that Michael's had a lot of cases in his prison. We've had tons of cases mm-hmm. here. It's been going on for 2 months where, you know, people have been tested positive, although that's started to subside. And other people that I know in other prisons have had the same situation where 50, 60, 70% of the population has been infected.
Well, that's a good point. So you're just wasting vaccine, probably.
That's ultimately my point. The other thing I wanted to say is this whole issue where they're talking about what went on last week and at the Capitol and on Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
and they're suggesting that it's sedition. I think mm-hmm. that's a complete misuse of the word, is it not? Sedition implies
what's the definition?
Well, it implies you've tried to overthrow the government. Does anybody really think that a bunch of knuckleheads and MAGA hats were going to be able to topple a government with a 500,000 man standing army?
But they also call it, so the definition of sedition is conduct or speech inciting people to rebel against the authority of a state or monarch. They also call it a rebellion. They also call it a coup. Like all the words that they use, if you're, and I think you're correct with your attack on sedition, but I think all the words they're using are inappropriate based on what you're saying.
Right. I think that it was clearly a riot, and I think that, you know, it's pretty clear that the president incited it, along with Giuliani and a few others. But I think it's crazy to impeach him for sedition when, you know, it's just absurd to think that that could have ended with toppling the government. It could have ended uglier than it did, don't get me wrong, but we were far from overthrowing the American system of government.
Yes, and I'm not sure how the president can execute a coup or an act of sedition when he's already running the government. So that adds a little complication to the accusation, don't you think?
Yeah, I guess.
Brent McCall, happy birthday. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon. All right, we're going to Tom Scott. Sorry to keep you waiting, Tom. Your greatness is not something we take lightly.
Well, I'm delighted to sit back and listen. You always have interesting guests, and as to your previous two, they have time constraints that many of us are not accustomed to. So once they're in the queue,
yes, they do.
To make that call, you know, all power to them.
Yes. So it's been an amazing week since we spoke last. The events of last Wednesday certainly are noteworthy. And you heard what Brent McCall just said about these accusations, the words being thrown around. Is that legitimate, or is there a power grab going on here, an attempt to politicize whatever degree of badness can be attributed to the president's behavior? This, the words being used to describe it and all the rhetoric, isn't that a stretch?
Todd, I'm going to sound like a broken record. I don't know a single Republican or a single conservative who has a megaphone, and in this case, a guest on your show in a 50,000-watt station, who won't take the opportunity to denounce in the strongest possible terms the criminal activity that occurred at the U.S. Capitol. What I object to, though, are the press and the media people who continue to call this an armed insurrection. That is way over the top. Now, that doesn't mean that they won't be able to identify a few individuals who conspired in some way, maybe on Facebook or maybe a private meeting back in their hometown in Minnesota or wherever. There may certainly be some people within that group who really did have motivations that go beyond what 99.9% of the people who were in Washington that day were thinking. And they need to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. But to your point, the left and their collaborators in the press and the media are using that tragic event to smear an entire group of people who they disagree with in this country. And, you know, they tried to do that during the income tax fight right here in Connecticut. I mean, it was, you know, that whole movement, which lasted a whole year, was as peaceful as you can imagine. People were angry, and we did everything we could to direct that anger in a very positive direction. And we did that successfully, I might add. And there were plenty of people trying to smear us. Now, that's on a much smaller level, a different issue, but it's not exactly apples and oranges either, because this is how the left operates. And with the folks over in the Silicon Valley Ministry of Truth, it's going to be harder and harder for people on our side, at least in the short term, to get the word out about a lot of the positive things that are going on in this country and the sort of positive change that we can make. Now, I was listening to your show today for the last hour. There's a lot of energy in your audience, and there's energy all over this country of like-minded people. And it's great to peacefully protest. This is a time-honored tradition that is almost uniquely American in a certain way, to peacefully protest. But I think we need to start having a conversation on our side about how many people who take the time to peacefully protest would also take the time to work in a campaign at election time.
Yes.
Because
yes.
Most of those people don't bother to do that. And you can protest all day long at the U.S. Capitol or the state capitol here in Connecticut. But except for a few issues on the margin, we will not change what's happening at the state and national capital unless we change a lot of the people we send there. And that requires getting involved in campaigns.
Nicely put. Hold on a sec, Tom. So what other thoughts do you have about where we're at as a nation and where the Republican Party is at as a result of what's gone on here? It seems to me the tragic thing about the Trump presidency will now be the good people and the positive movement towards restoring fiscal responsibility and constitutional reality to our system of government. That I'm talking about those of us on the right whose attempts to do that have been damaged by the way the president has handled this situation. Your thoughts on that?
Well, it's going to take a while to sort this out, Todd, and I don't know if it's going to be a year or 2 years or 4 years. Again, I'm thinking that as a movement, if you will, the conservative populist movement, for lack of a better definition, I mean, loosely put, I'd say it's a conservative populist movement. They need to start focusing on 2022, because as I mentioned last week, that's going to be an opportunity to pick up House seats and maybe even some Senate seats. So it's evolving. So I'm not trying to be evasive about this. I don't know where it's mm-hmm. going. But here's what I can say. This talk about a third party, I think, is very, very dangerous, politically speaking, because to the extent the Republican Party splits in two, it would, I mean, just look at the math, and politics and campaigns in particular are about math, and it's specifically about addition. And if you divide the Republican Party in half nationally, and people, I understand the frustration, but people feel the only way around all of these problems is to start a third party, that will be the death to the conservative populist movement in this country, maybe for the short term, but my guess it would be for a generation.
Because it would weaken the voting power of conservatives, obviously. But how about, I think that comment is born of a total frustration with our system and it being non-responsive to the needs of the people. And how about if there were, if both parties, this is just a hypothetical, but I'm wondering how you would feel about third parties being developed on each side. If both the Democrats and the Republicans experience the same split and the radicals on the left divided their votes up with maybe some less radical Democrats and they had two parties and a similar thing happened on the right, what would be wrong with that? Would that potentially free things up a little bit so we could get some of the responsiveness back in our system?
Yes, because, again, I'm looking at this from a very practical standpoint, Todd. And, again, back to the math. If the left, the hardcore left, split from the traditional liberals in the Democratic Party and formed another party, they would be drawing votes from the Democratic standard bearers, just as the split off third party on the right would be drawing votes from the Republican standard bearer. But here's what I think a lot of folks don't understand. I can name the Republicans who I think are most at fault here around the country. Mm-hmm. Mitt Romney comes to mind, but I can name you a lot of people who are problematic for our side. But I would also say, and maybe I have kind of unique insight in this because I've been involved in so many campaigns, it is relatively easy to change a party at the local and state level. If you have enough people and you have the financial resources and if you're willing to wage primaries, and again, primaries are fairly easy to win. In 2018 in Connecticut, only 31% of the Republicans voted, and there were all kinds of candidates for all kinds of offices, and they were spending a ton of money. So you really can take charge of your own party. You know, every state has their own rules, but it's a relatively simple thing to do if you have enough people on the ground who are willing
as opposed to starting a brand new project of a new party and starting with no members of the party, no resources,
oh, yeah,
and no voters. That you can much more quickly get involved with local elections and primary elections where there's, as you said, very few people vote. So being active, you can really change election outcomes.
Oh, in a big way. And, of course, there are practical problems with third party. I mean, in Connecticut, we have what's known as petition parties, and we also have what are known as minor parties. We have two major parties, the Republican and Democratic Party. But that has legal significance in Connecticut. For example, if
yes,
you're part of a petitioning party or a minor party, even if you could figure out how to qualify for the public money that everybody takes now for campaigns, your allotment as a minor party or a petitioning party would be drastically reduced. And they have this built-in advantage that the politicians created so that
yes.
the major parties are going to have a massive fundraising or financial advantage
yeah.
because of the way the yeah. law is in Connecticut.
Yes, the law was written to protect incumbents. What a surprise.
Absolutely. But again, a lot of energy out there, Todd. People need to, you know, take a step back and see where this is going over the next weeks and months. But in my opinion, it's not too early to start focusing on 2022. Right here in Connecticut, we've got Senator Dick Blumenthal, whose support is a mile wide and an inch thick. This guy is not 10 feet tall. He's vulnerable. If the right candidate came along, it would have to be a solid candidate who could raise money or has some of their own resources. You know, we can't just mm-hmm. put up a sacrificial lamb and think we're going to win. We may have a couple of U.S. House seats that could be competitive here in Connecticut. There's a lot going on if people are willing to get involved.
All right, we've got to wrap up, but just quickly on those House seats, are you talking about retirements coming or vulnerable incumbents?
Well, it's possible. I think, well, in the case of vulnerable incumbents, of the six that are up in 2022, Dick Blumenthal is always vulnerable, although most people don't see it that way, but I've got my own thoughts on that. In terms
sure.
of the five House districts, the fifth district should always be considered, in theory, competitive.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say Courtney in the second district decided to retire. That's an absolutely winnable seat. Same thing with the fourth congressional district in Fairfield County. And, you know,
all right, Tom Scott, I'm sorry, we've got to hold it right there. Thank you, sir. We'll see you next week. Okay. Appreciate it. All righty. Tom Scott is a former state senator, spent 10 years in his youth, his misbegotten youth, and he's also somebody who helps with campaigns, as he mentioned.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.